Welcome to the Command Edit Podcast, the podcast for video editors by video editors. We're here to relax and entertain you while you're stuck in the dark editing bay for hours or days on end. We hope to bring a little light and laughter into your day. Each week, we talk about the art of editing, becoming a better editor, enhancing our editing skills, and we interview some of the best from around the industry, and some others that you might not have heard of, but they have a good story to tell. And what kind of editors would we be if we didn't love stories? The hosts of this program are Nick Montgomery. He's what you can consider the full-time freelance editor for some of the best horror films you've probably never heard of, including Bite, Antisocial 2, and The Drownsman. Nick lives outside Toronto and sports one of the richest beards I've ever seen. And speaking of me, I'm your other host, Josh Short. You could call me the full-time corporate-y editor editing all sorts of talking heads and marketing promos and training videos that I know you definitely have not seen. I live outside of Washington, D.C., and in my spare time, I run a couple of websites, editvideofaster.com and shortonbeer.com. In this episode, we're going to talk about all the different common misconceptions about what we do as video editors. But first, Nick, what's going on, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know that you tend to be you make a habit, Josh, of snapping a photo while we're recording. And so while you were doing the intro, so very expertly, I might add, I decided, hey, I'm just going to get my phone out and likewise take a picture to post over on the Command Edit Podcast group on Facebook. However, I was foiled. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I'm a fool and I clicked on the update button on my iPhone 5's iOS a couple of days ago, and bad decision. Nothing has worked since, including my phone does not save photos.
You still rock the iPhone 5?
I still currently, maybe for not much longer by the end of this episode, I may have thrown it out the window.
I'm still on the 5 as well.
So you haven't updated to iOS 9.3.1?
I've not updated in probably 7 or 10 months, like that.
Rarely do I really update that frequently, I guess, but it was there and it was annoying me, the update notification, so off I went. Oh my god, the problems though.
Yeah, I don't even have like the different skin tone emojis, so I just have like the basic like first generation emojis.
Oh, you can only like, where's the meh emoji? That's what I want to know.
Did they take away the gun and the bomb recently? Did I hear that?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't even know there were.
I use those all the time.
So anyways, thank you very much for the intro. That was, man, why am I doing the intros? You rock at them.
Thank you.
And I will be able to happily add to one more title to that that feature credit list in a few weeks' time. Can't say much more, but I've got an exciting new project coming up very soon. What else? That's been a question I've been meaning to ask the group lately. What have you been working on this past week? So, Josh, what have you been working on?
Me personally, I have a marketing promo for a medical foundation that I've been churning out. It's like all After Effects based, so I'm pulling skills that I haven't used in a while. And we're gonna talk about that in a little bit, just kind of the misconceptions about video editors and After Effects and animating and all that stuff. But we'll get there eventually. I know one of our listeners, they've been busy, Steven Cheek or Cheek. Sorry, I don't know how to say your last name, man. But Steven Cheek, we'll go with Cheek. He just released the first episode of a web series that he edited, colored, and quote, after affected. and that's called Open Caskets. And the episode one is called House Keys. And it's a short 7.5 minute horror story that I gotta say I did jump at one point. I won't give it away, but they did get me pretty good. So if you guys check that out, Steven Cheek's Open Caskets, House Keys, episode 1. That's on YouTube.
And that's the kind of stuff that you can get exposed to by just joining the Command Edit Podcast group over on Facebook, because not only do we update with links for our new episodes and blogs and whatnot, but also there's some great conversations going on, and apparently now we're going to start the trend of perhaps it should just be a day of the week, like a Shameless Tuesday or something like that, where we say, all right, post a link of what you've been working on, or post your reel. Sam Butler is another one of our listeners, and he posted his reel after getting some feedback on how to edit one, and it looks stupendous. So it's a great place to post some work, get some feedback, and I'd like to say that we've got a helpful group of people in there, and no one's a bully or leaving any negative remarks or anything like that. Everybody's really constructive. So yeah, if you join the group, then you can get in on all sorts of that stuff. But for right now, misconceptions about what do you do? So how many times have you ever been asked by friends, family, or strangers, like, just what is it that you do? If you have a title such as even like a production assistant or a rotoscope artist, or any one of these other slightly vague roles in that scroll by on a film's credits or for a commercial, then if you ever face that difficulty of trying to explain what do you do day in and day out.
Yeah, so I think kind of the first question is, when somebody asks you that, what kind of title do you give yourself? What do you say you are?
Well, I've given up trying to explain to my parents like what I do, and I think they've given up on trying to understand. I don't think they get it. And maybe it's because of me. I do a piss poor job of explaining what I do each day. But ever since I've been focusing strictly on editing, more so on editing features in the past few years, it's been a little bit simpler. So I have been able to tell them, like, no, I edit feature films. Okay, now they understand. They have a better idea of what that is. They may not know what editing is, but they are able to tell their other neighbors and stuff when they say, oh, what does your son do? Oh, he makes movies.
Yeah, so that's easy for you, because, like, people, like just random people, they understand, oh, there's an editor for a movie. But when I say, oh, I'm a video editor, they think that I edit movies or I edit TV shows. I'm like, no, like, I edit corporate stuff, I edit talking heads and presentations and marketing videos for conferences and all that sorts of stuff, and they don't really get it. So I do usually say I'm a video editor. Sometimes if I know I want to kind of talk about shooting as well, I'll say I'm a video professional. I find that that's a little more ambiguous, and I can kind of steer the conversation where I want it to go more so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is the usual reaction that you get, the most common reaction that you get from people, or question, so, I guess?
So the joking response is, oh, so you work in porn.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they're joking or if they're serious sometimes.
I'm sure it's a question where they're like, oh, I'm totally joking, but really I want to know. Like, it's a silly question, but we want to know the answer here.
Yeah. I'm definitely kidding, but yeah, I'm also serious.
Yeah exactly. And I'm sure that we've got a lot of listeners kind of nodding their heads, because I hate that stereotype that comes with it, especially if you use the word filmmaker. If you say you are a filmmaker, or if you work in the movies, then that's usually what people kind of attach to it is, okay, so does that mean you do risque films?
And it's funny, because, like, going into this career, into this profession, like, I just never thought of that. It just, like, never crossed my mind that people would think of that, and associate that with me. But they do, and it's just like the most random. I'm out at a bar, and I'm meeting somebody's boyfriend, and they're joking around, and they just ask, and I was like, hey, that's not appropriate, man. And even if I did, like, it's still not appropriate to ask that here.
Still, and you just kind of touched on something for a second. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Not to quote Seinfeld for a second, but even if. We're not implying that there's absolutely anything wrong with working in that profession, but it does. If someone were to insinuate that, for instance, as a corporate commercial editor, for you, with the type of clients that you have, if someone were to insinuate that at all, if someone were to attach that that type of work to you, then would that hurt your would that hurt you for work?
I mean, I think like when I'm in the corporate environment, that doesn't really happen as much. What happens more so is that they think I'm an animator. So that's kind of like my big gripe. More so than the porn thing is when, you know, I say I edit videos and I know After Effects, people automatically think that I can make Pixar movies.
So it's worse. Like, no, don't, like, I, you know, absolutely don't mistake me for an animator. Oh yeah, you know, you can think that I work in porn, but I'm not an animator. That's even worse. No, well, that's a different misconception. That's I guess being confused about exactly what does that mean. Because even to say that you are an animator, there are different types of animation. I can claim that I won't say I am an animator, but there are certain types of animation that I can do. Can I do 2D Disney film, characters walking around on the screen animation? No. But motion graphics, to me, that is a form of animation. Okay, yes, I can do that.
Right, and I agree. And like that's the project I'm working on. It's all motion graphics, but I do know like there are times when I'm asked to like make things move, and yeah, I can kind of figure it out and use, you know, the puppet tool and some of that stuff and just kind of hack After Effects, you know, the best that I can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not a gosh darn animator.
Wait, watch the language.
Yeah, we're a very PG-13 show already.
Yeah. So I guess that's a different form of it. But going back to... I will confess that I'm pretty sure I've been working as a filmmaker in one job or another, like in cinematography or editing or whatever, for the past, you know, maybe 12, 13 years now. And I'm convinced that my mother still, and I also do photography on the side, which also just kind of adds to this. But I'm convinced that my mother still harbors some secret thoughts that, like, there's a possibility that I do work in the adult film industry from time to time. And I know that just through the comments that she says, I know that she, you know, she's holding out that, like, I'll bet that he's done work for this, you know.
Is she holding out hope? Is she holding out hope?
No, horror. Absolutely horror. Like for some, occasionally I do some like boudoir photography and, you know, cosplay photography at my place. Because I've got the photo studio set up, and I like to show my parents the kind of work that I do, whether it be feature films or like, hey, there's this photo shoot that I just did. Sometimes it's a corporate headshot photo shoot. Sometimes it's a photo shoot where it's someone who's scantily clad. But now I know, don't even fuel the fire. Don't show my parents at all that sort of stuff, because immediately my, you know, mother jumps to like, oh my god, my son works in the adult film industry. And it's, yeah, first of all, so what if I did? I don't. But I would rather that people don't automatically make that connection. You know?
Yeah, so I will say if my family doesn't think I work in porn, the rest of them probably think that I work in IT. So
worse.
Yeah, not porn, not animation. Now I work in IT. So, you know, I'm always the one that gets called with the computer problems and computer issues, because that's what I do for a living is I work on computers. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. Like I can generally troubleshoot most things. But like, that's what they think that I do day in and day out.
How often do you get mistaken for, like, if someone says, oh, so you do, you create videos, so you must do wedding videos, or you must do this, you must do that. You know, so how often do you get a client who automatically thinks, you know, you are a video editor, you produce media of some kind, therefore you produce all kinds of media?
That is... I completely forgot about the wedding video. That's definitely true. Probably that's another probably 10% of people. They're like, oh, so you do weddings? Will you do my wedding? And I'm like, I don't do weddings, but yeah, for the right price, I'll do your wedding, of course.
Oh, because it's not nearly the same. You know, it's a completely different beast altogether. And even if someone were to say, I create commercials. I edit commercials for a living. To then automatically say, okay, so I've got a music video for you to work on. That's not exactly the same thing, you know? So you're right there.
I'm okay. Thank you.
And, editors should have the ability to be able to jump from genre to genre to, you know, different types of projects. Yes, but yeah, I get approached all the time because I do photo shoot weddings. And so people then see, oh, you work in video as well. Ah, can you create a video for my wedding? My initial response is hell no. That is absolutely not, because that is completely not what I do. And I'm not interested in doing that. Wedding videography is a particular skill set that some people, like boutique wedding videographers, have mastered, and they market themselves specifically as that. And they demand a high price tag for it because, I'll say, it's a stressful job. And it's tough to learn to how to deliver a video like that when you're under that kind of pressure. So
I went from having done zero wedding videos to between September and October I did two different weddings for friends, pro bono, of course, of wedding present. But I have a little bit of taste of wedding videos of just the ceremony. I didn't want to be stuck with the camera the whole time, for the reception. But
yeah, that would just bug me. If you have a wedding coming up and you've got a friend with a camera and you're thinking of if I invite so and so to come along, I can just tell them to bring their camera. You're asking a lot of them. Don't do that.
It's okay. I mean, they're really good friends, so like I didn't mind. But I did get a really good seat. You know, I'm like second row on the aisle. They were grateful, which helps. Like I didn't just do it, and they're like, okay, thanks. But like they were like sincerely grateful for what I did for them.
Well, that's different. And like they asked, and they didn't presume like, hey, if you're coming, why don't you just bring your camera, and you can kind of work while you're there too. That's expectations. Just expecting you to work. That's not just asking. But even then, man, stressful. So, and I do get asked for different types of work from time to time. I mentioned before that I'll say that I can do some form of animation with After Effects, with Nuke. I can do some form. Like when I say that I do visual effects, you need to be specific then about what type of visual effects. I usually try to specify I'm more of a compositor. You know, if I work with a 3D graphics designer who can give me the 3D assets, then I can composite them into your film or your video. But if you say visual effects as just that blanket statement of like, yes, I'm a visual effects artist, people may automatically assume, oh, so you create avatar level stuff. You do 3D animation. You do this. You do that. You do green screen. And it's... Even when you try to specify what it is that you do, you know, the language that we use is not very common language. Like to say, oh, I'm a compositor. Do general people know what a compositor is? So how do you then specify? So, you know, let's say you're meeting someone at a networking event and you shake their hand and they say, what do you do? What is your go-to elevator pitch answer?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Dog ran downstairs, and I'm just like, oh, Nick, keep talking. And try not to let the dog bark. All right, so I'm at a networking event. And what?
A little role play here. So, yeah, you just met me. Hi, I'm Phil. What do you do, Josh?
Phil, I edit videos. What do you do in your day-to-day? And I can try and relate that to what you do.
Oh, so wait, so you edit videos. So like you're the guy who likes, you know, takes film strips and like stitches them together in a dark room to make the movies, right?
If I So, asterisk, if I don't want to continue this conversation, I just say yes and leave it there.
Sometimes, yeah.
Thanks, Phil. It was great to meet you. Yes, that's what I do, and I turn and walk away. But no, if I want to keep talking to Phil, no, not exactly. You know, today, you know, instead of film, it's all digital. It's all right on the computer, and, you know, I kind of tap away at the keyboard and, you know, splice things together that way.
Okay, so when you say, you know, you edit, you just basically, like, take footage and, you know, dump it into your computer and, you know, cut out the bad parts, right?
So, yes, part of editing is removing all the parts that don't work and then putting it together into a story that makes sense. So if you want to boil it down to that, sure, but there's a lot more that goes into it.
Huh, okay. So, you know, have you edited anything that I would have seen, like, at the movies, at the movie theater? I got asked that, actually.
So I did this horror movie called Bite, and another one called Antisocial... Okay.
Oh, man, those sound horrible.
Phil, you know, I don't edit movies or TV shows. You know, most of my stuff are for specific clients. They're either a company or they're like a store or a brewery. And I edit, you know, let's say a brewery. And I go there and they have a brew day and I interview the head brewer there. And we make a fun little 2-minute video for them to put up on social media. That's the stuff that I like to do.
Okay, cool. And... you know, after you've had this conversation so many times, you get pretty good at specifying without confusing further, without generating more questions, what it is that you actually do. So I get the question all the time. Like, as soon as I say, like, I edit feature films, I'm a feature film editor, I always get asked then, oh, what have you worked on that I would have seen? And they're looking for titles like, you know, what's in the theater right now that you would have seen, that you would have worked on? And... without making it sound like this, I kind of have to respond, I likely have not worked on anything that you've seen. You know, mm-hmm. I don't work on popular titles. This isn't what I say, but it's, I don't know. It sometimes can sound, it sometimes feels a little demeaning, slightly embarrassing to say, well, no, I mostly work in independent films. I'm not sure why, because I know that there's an audience. I know that there are people who watch and appreciate these films. But the general, you know, audience, the general public who do not indulge in independent films a lot, who basically all of their movie watching is through Netflix or what's showing at the multiplex, have never heard of the movies that I work on.
Yeah, and I get what you mean. Like I get that feeling all the time too. Like, oh, hey, have you done anything that I've seen? Like, no, I haven't. Like, you were not at that conference in San Diego, I promise you, at our little booth with the monitor in the corner. You didn't see that video, I promise you. And it does hurt a little bit, but you got to remember that, like, this Phil or whoever you're talking to, like, what have they done that you have seen? You know, if they're not a writer, you know, if they don't, like, actually produce something, like, What have they done? Like, if they just work in Excel all day, you never see their spreadsheet. So I think we got nothing to be ashamed about.
Oh, yeah. And I think there was a time that I was a little bit more embarrassed. I was striving more towards, oh, man, I need to work on a really popular title. Like, what's my claim to fame? I need to work on, you know, Terminator 6 or something like that. And I need to, you know, something recognizable. And that used to actually be a goal, still kind of is, just for my parents, to work on something where I can say, hey, Mom and Dad, I've worked on this, and you've heard of it. You know, this is a movie that you can currently go and see, you know, at the movie theater, or this is a TV show on TV that you can watch that I've worked on. And I think it's just for my folks, but for the rest of the world, I don't really care.
Right, I get it. Like, we want something that is, like, easily consumable, that'll come on TBS at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, that you can say, like, hey, you know, I had that small role in creating this thing. You know, like, you know, our editor friend and friend of the show, Rhonda, who works on Property Brothers. I was watching Property Brothers earlier today, and I was thinking about, like, I'm so jealous of Rhonda. I'm looking for her name in the credits, and I'm just like, that would be so cool to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I do get to claim a little bit of that, and actually it's funny that you mentioned, I actually didn't know Rhonda edited or worked on Property Brothers, because that makes me a little bit of her adversary, because I work on some content for Mr. Scott McGillivray, who is also a home reno show personality and kind of direct competitor to Property Brothers. And so I shoot more than I have edited for his online content. See, not even for his TV show, but it's for an online series that he's working on right now. Yeah, I actually didn't know that. Huh, Rhonda, and I head to head now.
So I want to touch on something that you brought up in the Phil annoying conversation.
annoying when Phil.
When Phil was, kind of saying, oh, you just kind of put things together. So a misconception that, you know, I get, or that I'm that I am nearby, you know, often is when someone's just like, can't anybody just do this with iMovie? That like drives me crazy. Sure, yes, you can edit a video in iMovie. You don't need to learn Media Composer or Premiere or whatever. Yeah, you can put, you know, a couple shots together, throw some music underneath, add some titles in there in iMovie and export it to YouTube, and you're good to go. Sure, and you can pay them minimum wage or whatever, but that's not the same as what I do, which is running an entire media and video department. So, you know, like, I have to, like, keep all this stuff organized for years for other editors to be able to come in and, like, jump onto these projects. You know, I gotta, like, deal with client relationships and just, like, juggle, you know, 16 different projects all at the same time. And, like, it's just not even apples and oranges. It's, you know, bananas and watermelons.
Bananas and watermelons together at last. Some other misconceptions that I'm sure a lot of us face a lot of the time that I want to make sure that we get to, and at times we are asked to shoot as well as edit, so this also does kind of play into it, the expectations of what we're able to do. So it's kind of the equivalent of asking a photographer, like, well, you can just Photoshop that, right? You can just fix that in post. The expectation that I get a lot of the time. I remember when DSLRs first started emerging as an option to shoot your video or even for your feature film. You know, almost early on, they were being laughed at. And I remember people adopting them, us adopting them for the first time to work on corporate projects. And it felt kind of embarrassing showing up with these tiny cameras, because people would look at them and the expectations that they would have, the client expectations, they want a big hulking beast of a camera. They want, you know, Mr. Red Alexa Epic 9000. And then you've got like the Canon 60D and that's it. Mm-hmm. No rig, no nothing, no monitor. And that is what you're using to shoot. And their expectations just kind of plummet because, you know, they expect, like, well, you know, you only get quality out of good gear, better gear, more gear. So, you know, the whole idea that you need fancy lights, you need the big beast of a camera that weighs 50 tons, you need, you know, the most powerful computer to edit your feature film.
Right. There needs to be 15 people on set and, you know, craft services in the corner. And
Yeah. So trying to beat those, it's great when you do correct those expectations. I do remember some sets being on where, you know, we would show up, we have a very minimal crew, very minimal gear kit, and the client, you could see it in their face, their expectations just go right down, like, oh man, what have I done? You know, I've invested in these guys and they're showing up with toys to shoot my commercial. And then when you show it to them, you blow their minds away. So that, yep. I love smashing those expectations. And yeah, it's very satisfying.
So another misconception, I'll say that this also grinds my gears probably more than most things, is when somebody who is not a video editor or video professional, when they say that they just have this one quick change and it's going to be really easy to do.
Yes.
And I want to lose my mind. Because, like, they don't know it's easy. They don't know it's quick. Like, yes, in their mind, you know, removing the word, you know, the in the person's sentence in the middle of, you know, the one shot, you know, of the talking head, like, that's not easy to do. You know, I might be able to get away with it if I cut it together and fluid morph it or whatever you call it in Premiere. maybe. And yeah, that will be quote unquote easy, but like, that's not simple. I mean, there's nobody else in this office that knows how to do that. Like, why is that simple to do? You know,
never. I'm always very careful not to use those words. Like, it'll be easy. It'll be quick. It'll be simple. It'll be cheap. Because even if that's the case, what you're telling them, what you're telling the client is potentially, and what they're hearing is, oh, it's easy. Therefore, oh, this won't cost a lot. I should expect this all the time. If it's a visual effects thing, if it's a matter of, oh, in this shot, oh, we have a cup in the background. It's not supposed to be there. Can you remove that? It really varies from shot to shot. So if you on one shot say, oh, it'll be really easy to do that, they in their minds go, oh, to remove something from the background, easy for every shot. So if I ever see something to fix, it will be easy. And that's not the case.
Yeah. And what's worse is when like a producer talks to the client for you and claims that it'll be easy and it'll be a quick turnaround and then relays that information to you. And you'd want to rip your hair out. And you're just like, you don't know what this takes. You know, like, yeah, it might be easy, but no, removing that cup in 19 different shots in a 40-minute video, then I got to re-export it, re-upload it, recompress it, name the file, you know, write it down on a list somewhere. Like that stuff, it just takes time. Mm-hmm. And you're just assuming that my time isn't worth what it actually is.
Yes, yeah. And it does come down to a cheapening of your time and what you the value of your service. I remember I used to know an audio engineer who had a great way. He had analogies for everything, and he had a great way of explaining to someone just how complex their request was. Whenever a client would ask, because when it comes to sound, I can only imagine it's infinitely worse, the expectations of, you know, oh, I watched CSI, and in CSI, I saw how they removed background noise from a sound clip. You can do that. You can fix this audio. And so I can only imagine that for us, it's a certain level of bad. For audio, it's infinitely worse, the expectations that some clients have and how far off they are. So he had a way of saying, you know, once you get to post, and if you're asked to fix something, remove something, or whether it be audio or video, he said, well, let me put it to you this way. I'm a baker, and I just made you a cake. And now you're asking me to take an ingredient out. I can't unmake the cake. So I can fix some things, but what you're asking me to do is, okay, this cake is great. Take out half the sugar. That cannot be done. You know, so
I'm gonna steal that analogy.
Yeah. Although, mention that too many times, and yeah, then they'll just want cake. So, but to request something like, well, this cake is good, but take the cherry off the top. Okay, that I can do. Very different request.
Yes. Yes. Taking the cherry off, yes. Yeah. Not too bad. So I guess I have one more misconception, but it's actually from the other way around. So it's me having misconceptions about other people. So I judge the heck out of people who like don't know how to use a computer, like know like alt tab or option tab or command tab, whatever it is, like who actually like yeah command tab so yeah. alt tab on PC, command tab on Mac. So like when people like don't know that stuff, or like they don't know how to use a Mac, or they don't understand different file extensions, like I judge them. Or I just assume that everybody knows this stuff. So that's kind of that's on me. That's something that I do poorly, have a bad misconception about other people.
I try not to have misconceptions like that, and especially when it comes to up-and-coming filmmakers. For instance, someone approached me and said, they emailed me out of the blue and said, hey, I'm a newcomer to my area, and you know, I just moved here, and I just graduated from you know, from this film program from you know, the local college, and so I'm looking to get a start, and I've got a reel I can share with you. And I say, absolutely, sure. In my mind, I'm expecting, oh, good Lord, this reel is going to be a piece of shit. And more in, if I have an idea that they're a young person, I will admit that, okay, yeah, my expectations usually kind of go down. And then if I click on it, I'm usually blown away and kind of feel like, wow, this is amazing. This guy is like 15 years younger than I am, and he's just kicking my ass. Like, look at this stuff. This is amazing. So I love being proven wrong and seeing that. So yeah, there's a lot of up-and-comers, and there's a lot of people still making crap. Don't worry about that. But there are a lot of people coming up, you know, who are far younger than me, and who have amazing credits to their name, who can do amazing work. And so those expectations, I try to always, even the other way, actually, I know some older people who have retired, who are like veteran videographers, video producers, who say, you know, your expectation when you hear of, you know, someone who's like in their 60s, I guess, and still editing or shooting, is that, oh, they're from like the beta age, you know, so they're probably still shooting on, you know, they're editing in SD, or they're doing, you know, the very old traditional ways of editing. And I love being proven wrong in that area too. If I see something that just like blows me away, like, wow, this is a very current style that they have. This is awesome. This is not an 80s talking head video. This is something amazing and stylish for now. And yeah, it's tough because I always catch myself, you know, setting those expectations and those misconceptions set in. And I try not to be a victim of them myself. But yeah.
So people have misconceptions about us. We have them about them. It's this is life, people. It's how it is. So, I mean, we talked about how people think we work in porn, that we're animators. My family thinks I work in IT. Anybody can do what we do with iMovie. Things shouldn't take long to do, and they're easy. But in reality, no, they're incredibly difficult, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And Nick and I, we judge people as well. So
I judge you all the time.
Yes. Well, thanks. Well, I do know that if you want to listen to more about when we were talking about being an animator and our relationship with After Effects specifically, we talked about that pretty for a long time in episode 23 called After Effects and You. If you have not listened to it, Nick will put it in the show notes, I'm sure. Yeah, besides absolutely. That.
Some other things to look forward to in the show notes. I've got a couple of links. I'm sure you do too as well, Josh. Some more helpful links if you're looking for some more tips on some misconceptions about filmmaking, the type of work that you do, and how to smash them, or otherwise how to better prepare your clients to avoid these misconceptions. I'm often trying to educate people a little bit as much as I can. To kill those misconceptions, and I've even often thought about of like just doing like a quick seminar locally, so that entrepreneurs can show up and I can kind of walk them through. Okay, these are the common misconceptions of when you hire a company to produce a video for you, and now I'm going to correct this for you, so that you know, you can, you know, once you know this, you know, you can you know, things will be a little bit easier when you go get a video done. But anything you could do to better educate other people around you with that, do us a favor.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that is episode 43. That about rounds up to everything for us. Also, if you haven't already listened to it, go back and listen to episode 42, where we talked. We lightened things up a little bit. We talked about the editing style of Daredevil season 2, which everybody kind of binge watched and enjoyed. And so that generated some conversation. And in the meantime, head on over to Facebook, give a quick search for the Command Edit podcast group, and join us. It's really easy to get in on the group. And once you're in, you can be introduced to so many other editors around the globe and strike up some good conversations with them. You get some cool links from us and from other listeners, helpful links about the industry, some lighter stuff that will just be some cool stuff for you to watch. It's some daily entertainment for you, and you gotta chill from time to time, so
and you need something to do while you render, so
exactly know. Yeah.
Yeah, open a new tab, go to Facebook. I know you're doing it anyway, so just go over to the group. It should be over on the left hand side. Just click it, Command Edit. So I have one last thing. Editors, especially avid editors, I got a lot of good stuff coming out about media management over on my site, editvideofaster.com. So go check it out. And if you are not signed up to the Video Editors Digest, you can do that. Go to the blog page. It's in the top right corner, like, hey, sign me up. And that's a weekly email where I give tips and tricks and just insight that I don't put out on the blog, that editors, at least they've told me that they find it very helpful and useful with their careers and their lives and everything else.
Awesome. And finally, we have some cool interviews coming up in future episodes on this podcast. We're, Josh and I keep on trying to, talk about some topics that are very relevant specifically to film and video editing and how to become a better editor overall. However, there are some topics that we don't want to overlook, some of the things like fitness, like nutrition, like managing your time and whatnot. So we do have some other great interviews coming up. So be on the watch out for that. And also, if you've got a particular topic that you are interested in knowing more about, let us know. Because we would love to know what you would want to get out of this podcast so we could help program it for you.
Yeah, and one last quick announcement. I know we've talked about it on the podcast before about maybe going to NAB this year. Unfortunately, it looks like Nick and I will not be able to attend NAB, but I'm sure we're going to be talking about it and doing roundups of all the news and all that and staying on top of everything for you. But we will not be in Vegas this year. Fingers crossed, we will make it there next year.
Yeah, I don't know about you. This month just got busy, really, really quick for me, which was unexpected, but honestly, very thankful for that. I like the work.
Yep. Cool.
So that was episode 43. Thank you guys very much for listening. And if you've listened thus far and haven't subscribed, hey, hop on over to iTunes, hit subscribe, or your podcatcher of choice. I'm always looking to get the show on whatever podcasting app that people are listening to. So it's on iTunes, Stitcher. I believe we're going to be adding it to SoundCloud very soon as well, because apparently people listen to it on there, there too. So, thanks for subscribing. If you've enjoyed the episode so far, hey, you know what would really help us? Hop on over to iTunes and leave a review for us. We love the reviews, and hey, we also read them out loud on the air. So, check that out. Share us with some of your other film editing folk. Give them a break, something to listen to. And stay tuned for next week's episode. Until next time, I'm Nick.
And I'm Josh.
And you're you. Now your writer's done. Get back to work.